You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs Podcast.
Well, folks, welcome to episode number 15 of the Mundy Maniacs Podcast. My name is Kevin. I'm a Canadian living and working in Shenzhen, China. And with me, as always, is my co-host, PJ.
Yo.
And this evening, or this morning, whenever you're listening to this, we are very happy to be chatting today with Dale and Barbara from the Space Coast Geostore. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've got some crazy time differences here. It's night for PJ and I. It's really early in the morning for Dale and Barbara.
Really early,
yeah. So I'm sure most of the people listening know who you are, but if people don't, could you tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do?
Go ahead. Okay. So I'm Dale, I play as Space Coast Geostore in the Munsey world, and Barb plays as Dale and Barb, because when we started from a geocaching background, and our geocaching name is Dale and Barb, so we just used that. And we had a business at the time, and years ago they had business Munseys, and so in order to have a business Munsey, you had to create a different account. And so we created the business account and had the business Munsey. And then I asked Rob, I said, is it okay if I play under this account? And he said, of course. And so I've always played under the Space Coast Geo account, and Barb plays under the Dale and Barb account. You know what I'm saying?
So for those who might not know, what is the Space Coast Geo Store?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You talk. So let's see, back in 2004, the company that I worked for closed down, and we opened up an automotive air conditioning parts store, and we were running that, and we had a spare room with nothing in it, and we started geocaching, and Barb said, why don't we open up, you know, just have some supplies here for geocachers, for the locals to come in and be able to pick up a sticker or whatever, instead of having to wait 3-4 days to have it shipped to them. So we sat down with a couple other friends in the local area. We came up with the name Space Coast Geocachers Association. And with that started the Space Coast Geostore. And we've just kind of gone from there. Eventually, we closed down the air conditioning business and strictly had the geocaching store. And then we were vending at the Texas Challenge in Texas, of course. And the graphics designer for Munsey walked up to our booth, Trish, and started talking to us. And funny story, Rob will get a kick out of this one. She walked up to our booth, introduced herself, and we said, oh, yeah, we had messaged, you know, we had sent an email to Munsey and asked if we could sell their product. And she said, oh, that would be great. And I said, yeah, but we never heard back from them. And she's like, really? That's kind of odd. And she's like, well, Rob's here. He's the president of Munsey. Let me go find him. So off she goes. They come back a little bit later, and he introduces himself. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I sent you a message. And he goes, yeah, to be honest with you, he said, I got your email. He said, I really didn't know how to answer, so I just kind of ignored it, hoping that you would go away.
And he's probably still wishing that now.
So, we actually, he set us up that day right there at our booth with a bunch of Munsey supplies, said, here, these are going to sell really well for you. And back in the day, it was actually the large blue mystery Munsey sticker. Mm-hmm. And so we took a bunch of stuff back to Florida with us and started selling the Munsey product in our geocaching store. And so that's kind of how we got started with Munsey. And so we became the third, I think it was, official reseller for Munsey. Elliot was the first one at Golden Coins out in California. Ken up in Canada was the other one, and then we came along. And then eventually we became the in charge of the resellers, so to speak. We kind of oversaw and was the liaison between the resellers and Munsey. And then at some point, we partnered up with Rob and opened up the Munsey Marketplace in 2015, which was actually a Munsey and geocaching supply store on half of it. The other half was, we were on the beach. And so the other half of it was beach supplies, craft beer. What else do we have? Food. We had little grab and go snacks, just anything that a tourist might come in and, you know, be looking for. And so it just gave an opportunity for them to come in, buy that, and hopefully ask, hey, what's, you know, geocaching or Munsey? And so we had that for a while, and then we ended up closing that down, and now we strictly sell online, and we travel all over the United States, and we actually went to Australia last year. So we've traveled all over the United States vending at events.
Yeah, Rob's the one that came up with the Road Warriors. So that's what we officially are. We are the Road Warriors.
Well, you guys do a lot of things. In addition to running the store, you guys create gardens and you travel around to events. How much of this is your life? I mean, between geocaching and Munsey, do you guys ever get a break? Because you are a omnipresent, a positive one, within Water Cooler and several of the other groups. So I'm wondering, how do you divide and conquer? Because I see Dale, you post a lot, and then Barbara comments. How do you figure that out? How do you split things in your life into, or do you have it in, you know, different sections or whatever?
You know, our life is geocaching in Munsey. That's been our life. So episode 15, this is like our 15th year of geocaching. So it kind of goes along with Rob and 10 years, but yeah. I mean, that's what's great is that it started out where we love geocaching and then we love Munsey. So it's great that we love what we do. So we love going to events and interacting with people. Sometimes the one time a year we go to that part of the, you know, United States is the only time we see those people. But otherwise, I mean, we're either out doing one of these hobbies or we're working. Yeah, deal is the online presence. I pipe in a little bit, but I do a lot of the geocaching containers is what I get ready. We have online sales every day, so we're always packing and shipping orders. So, but yeah, we work from home now, and in less than 2 weeks, we're hopefully going on the road to Texas for the Texas Challenge again.
Okay, wow.
Wow. Yeah, that was actually the last geocaching event, big event, that we were able to vend at last year was the Texas Challenge. That was right when everything got shut down here. Yeah. And this will be the first big event that we're going to, which will be the Texas Challenge again. So that's kind of interesting that it was, you know, kind of full circle here. But going back to your question, yes, I like to say that I'm the loudmouth. I'm the voice of the Dale and Barb team. And Barb is the brains of the operation because she's the one that I'll type something and she'll be looking at it and she's going, no, don't say that.
That doesn't happen too often anymore. He doesn't ask. He just puts it out there.
Nice. Nice. So you guys, where exactly are you located?
Merritt Island, Florida, which is about 10 minutes from the Kennedy Space Center, where SpaceX is launching all of the new rockets, the Falcon 9 rockets with the different satellites and actually astronauts now to the space station. So we can literally walk outside from our yard and watch the launches happen.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
hence the name Space Coast. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. That's so cool.
And we're 4 miles from Cocoa Beach. So when we had the Munsee Marketplace, we were literally 300 feet off the beach. So you just walk out the back door and that was Cocoa Beach.
Wow, that's so cool. So I'm wondering, and I've heard, I mean, I'm a Canadian guy who started playing Munsee in Japan, and now I'm in China. I haven't played in North America. I've heard a lot of things about Florida and Munsee. How would you describe the Munsee landscape in Florida versus other places you've been?
It's insane. So a few years ago, we decided we had the store. And so just because we had the store, people all over the world would deploy virtual Munsees over the store. And then we opened up the Munsee Marketplace. And so we moved, like Barb said, we ended up moving probably about 5 or 6 miles away. And so when that store opened, again, players from all over the world just, you know, flooded Cocoa Beach area with virtuals. And so we started a group for Florida called the Florida Munsee Hunters. And just a Facebook group where Florida players had a place to kind of come together. And that has really morphed into a very good Munsee community across the entire state. So our original idea was Cocoa Beach and Tampa are considered Central Florida. One's on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast. It's about a 200-mile corridor, and they call it the I-4 corridor because I-4 kind of goes across the state. So originally what we wanted to do was kind of build a Munsee string of virtuals going from Cocoa Beach to the Tampa area. Well, what we didn't realize was just how big of a string that was going to end up being, because now Merritt Island, Cocoa Beach is huge with the, you know, Munsee presence. But then Tim and Marie Honeycutt, and they got started along with a few other players locally in the Brandon area, and they started building some gardens over there. And then Warren and Marie Crossman kind of got started in the Orlando area. And so that kind of connected the dots a little bit. So we had the Space Coast, they were over in Brandon, and then we got the Orlando, you know, area involved. And so it's just kind of morphed across the state. Well, now it's spread north and south from there. And so Florida is definitely, I would say, in the top 5 destinations for Munsees because of the concentration. You can come to Merritt Island, and in a day with enough blast, you can get 1,000,000 points, no problem. You know, you could literally, if you've never been here, we had somebody come through and they wanted to see how many points they could get, and I think they spent 3 or 4 days here, but they got over 1,000,000 points just on the Space Coast in this area. Wow. And there's a lot of stuff here. And if you wanted to play the physical game here, at one time we were in the top 5 for the largest cluster of physical mystery Munsees. And we had a few local players that really every month when they went on sale, they were at our store buying their allotment of the mystery Munsees and deployed them everywhere in the area. And so we had a huge cluster of the mystery Munsees. I'm not sure where we rank now, because, you know, that whole thing has kind of morphed into a lot of, you know, different areas. But, you know, we still have a very large cluster of physical stickers.
Well, I know whenever I look at almost any part of Florida, I have to turn on the website and then go get a drink or something, because it's going to take a few minutes to load. Keeps piling on.
The video cards are screaming. My laptop's wishing it had more RAM. Wow, that's incredible. And that's one thing PJ and I have talked about in the past, how that's what we like to do, is go on to Munsee.com and just type in different locations and sit back and daydream.
places to visit.
Places to visit in the future when the world isn't so crazy. But well, that's so cool. Now, I mean, in the typical year before the craziness of COVID-19 and all that stuff and all the shutdowns and lockdowns, in a typical year, how many kind of events or different places do you think you were going to in a year?
I would say, so we have 52 weekends. I would say probably 40 to 45 weekends we were at events.
Wow.
At least, yeah. Yeah, we would, if we didn't have a geocaching event to go to, we would try and schedule a Munsee event or go to a Munsee event. But yeah, pretty much every weekend we were on the road.
Wow.
Yeah, we would spend well over 100 nights in hotels.
Intense.
Plus having a brick and mortar shop during the weekdays.
Right. And actually when we were on the road, there's a lot of times where my sister lives up in Michigan, one of my sisters. And so we would, if we had events up in the north, what we would do is we would travel to her house. We would use her place as our, you know, home base. And then we would branch out from there on the weekends to go, you know, to Minnesota or to go to Massachusetts or wherever from there, because it was a closer drive. And then we could come back to her place. And then literally Barb and I would take, in her little town, they had a really nice pavilion that was there. So we would just go to this park. We would back our truck up to the park, to the pavilion, unload all of our store stuff onto picnic tables. And then we'd sit there. I'd set my laptop up. I'd set the printer up, and we'd pull orders from the park, and we'd ship orders on a daily basis from the park.
Wow.
Yeah, that was our office for the time. But yeah, I literally had done inventory. I took everything out of the truck. I counted everything. But the weather was nice there. No humidity, nice and cool.
Yeah, one of the funniest stories when we were traveling and pulling orders was we were in Barb's hometown near Chicago, and we pulled into this little park, and we had the truck. We dropped the tailgate, set a little table up. I had my laptop, printer. What else?
Just the scale to weigh packages.
We had
the
scale. So we had everything set out. She's pulling orders. I'm packing them. And all of a sudden, here comes a deer, and it walks right by us, right? I mean, it was probably, what, 15, 20 feet from us?
I said, oh, deer, our customer.
But it was so funny because it just walked by. And then a cop comes driving by, and we just thought for sure, we look really odd sitting here with all this stuff sitting out on the back of our truck, all these electronics on a table, and the cop just drove by. She looked at us, waved, and kept right on going, never asked us anything.
Wow. I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of really cool things and have had so many great experiences traveling around the States. And I'm curious, you know, you've mentioned how densely packed Florida is with Munsees. As someone who, you know, in the future would love to get down to the United States and do some Munsee playing, what would you say are some of the top Munsee destinations in America?
Well, obviously Texas, because that's, you know, headquarters. So that's one of them.
Minnesota
has done an amazing job building the Minneapolis Apple Valley area. That's where Munsee Mania is hosted every year. They do a great job there. We've never had the opportunity to go to California yet, but Munsee Madness, Elliot, one of the other resellers, has the longest running annual event that they do out in, if I say it right, La Habra, California. And, you know, they have a ton of Munsees there. Iowa, in the Cedar Rapids area, they have a huge population of Munsees there. They have a really good group of players there. All up in the New England area, There's been a group of players there that have really built the New England states, Massachusetts, Maryland, Connecticut. You know, a lot of the New England states are really heavily populated now with Munsee. And trying to think of, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out. Illinois has a really good. There's a couple of pockets that are really heavily concentrated with Munsees there. One of the original destinations for virtual Munsees was Franklin, Tennessee. That used to be, if you wanted points, that was the place to go before the Space Coast and Florida came along. Everybody went to Franklin, Tennessee to get points. And so those are, I mean, like I said, I'm sure I'm missing some places, but just quickly off the top of my head, those are definitely some of the big hot spots that continue to stay active.
Nice.
I want to thank you guys for setting up the garden in Takarazuka, which is, you know, Sarah was interested in gardens, and I, you know, being in Asia, there were no gardens. And now, in addition to yours, there's three or four other projects that have started up. And I think it was all inspired from that. And that one was such a nice surprise. How did you guys get interested in gardens, and what do you like about them, or what? They seem terribly complicated to organize, but they're wonderful to look at and to cap.
So a long time ago, there was a program that came out, and it was called I know I'm going to botch this name, but the Hanklinator or something like that program. And it was for building gardens. Absolutely. I could not figure it out. I'm not super tech savvy. Couldn't understand it. So I just gave up. Tim Honeycutt built, we got a space shuttle garden that's right literally almost over our house. And he built that for us. And I always, you know, I love seeing the designs that people would come up with. And I was always interested. Well, then the Munsee Garden Painter program came out, and I finally figured out how to use that. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is not really that difficult to do at all. I had some help from several different players. We have a friend that's in Kansas. The lab guys, he helped me out a lot. He would build gardens for us and tell me what he was doing. And so from there, I started building them, and I built my first one actually for him. And so we put one in his area, and it's just kind of gone from there. It's something that I've enjoyed playing around with. And so I've just been making different gardens in different areas. And one of the things that I guess really started us off was when Barb and I are traveling, and we didn't, you know, we would play Z-Ops. And so me being a procrastinator, I get to the hotel one night, and we're in, I think it was like Virginia or West Virginia, something like that. There was literally not a Munsee on the map. And we get settled into the hotel, and I go, oh, I got Z-Ops to do. And I had to cap like, you know, 20 evolutions or something like that. And I'm like, oh, man. And so I just jumped on the computer, and I created this little small garden. I think actually then it was like 100 pins. And it was just a square. That's all it was. Nothing special. Just a square in the parking lot over the hotel. And so I put it out on the water cooler, and I said, hey, I didn't do my Z-Ops today, and I need these Munsees. Would anybody be willing to help me out? Had no idea what kind of response I would get. Literally within an hour, all 100 pins were deployed. We capped them. And I told people, I said, we're in the middle of nowhere. I would expect you're going to get two caps. I don't know that you'll get any more than that. And actually, I've looked back at that garden at some point, and it actually had 20 or 25 caps on it. So people do travel through there and cap it. But that's kind of how things got started with the small gardens. I call them pop-up gardens. Up at a hotel, if there weren't any Munsees there, I would throw out a pop-up garden. And so that's kind of how that got started. Well, then, I don't know, it was just at some point I decided, it seemed like I was posting, in my opinion, too many gardens in the water cooler. And so I decided, well, I'm just going to start a Facebook group called the Munsey Pop-Up Garden Group. And so I started that group, and it's basically specific to players that want to see pop-up gardens on a continuous basis. And so they're in there, and it is so much fun, because what we do now is we create a 50-pin garden, because you need 50 pins in order to get a POI. So we create a 50-pin garden with a POI, and we put them out there. And generally, I would say within a 2-hour period, almost guaranteed, all of our gardens get filled that are 50 wow. pins. And so it just kind of morphed where we were doing different gardens, and then we started doing themed gardens. So like at Halloween, we did the pumpkin. And so we had contests of how people could get a pumpkin garden in their area. And then we did the candy cane. And so we started doing the candy canes. And then we switched from at Christmas from the candy cane to the wreath, because Rob came to us and he said, hey, you got a candy cane garden. Is there any way that I could take that artwork and use it for what we want to do with our events in December? And we were like, sure. So he took the candy cane garden and used that in events. And then we created the wreath gardens. And so we started, you know, putting those out everywhere. Well, I don't remember. Do you remember how somehow we got into, we were doing 31 gardens for the 31 days of December.
Wow. And
so that became a pretty good challenge to figure out where to put 31 gardens and to create 31 gardens. And they were all the same artwork, but I would switch up the pins in the garden a little bit. And then now in February, well, late January, February, we did the heart garden. And what are we doing now? Oh yeah, the leprechaun. We've done a couple of leprechaun gardens.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we, you know, I've just enjoyed making small gardens. I found that seems to be the key. You get gardens that are 300, 400, 500, 600 pins, 1,000, 5,000. Some people, you know, there's some people around the world that like to throw out gardens continuously that are very large that don't get filled. And I have found that the key is small gardens get filled quickly. You don't have the cool designs. You know, you can't do the really intricate designs. Even the gnome, you know, I had to make that close to 200 pins to actually get the design to look good. So, you know, trying to get a very small design to work in a small garden is kind of the challenge. And that's what's been fun about it.
Nice. That is so cool. I'm curious, bouncing from topic to topic, but on the Munsey blog just a few days ago, they made a post about virtual reseller Unique Munseys.
Yes.
So could you tell us a little bit about those?
What's the story with that?
So because they've been in the clan requirements for a few months, players, because a lot of players are in lockdown, or, you know, they have different scenarios. It's winter time, you know, they're in a area where they're snowed in or whatever. They continue to ask for a virtual version of the rum. And so, you know, Rob pays attention to what players are asking. And we had presented an idea to him. And as with a lot of ideas that we present to Rob, we present them and we talk about them and we present them again and we talk about them. And usually it takes a lot longer, but he actually came out with the virtual rum to our surprise. He said, hey, guess what? We're going to do this. And we actually didn't even hound him very much on this one. We have hounded him on a lot of other things for a long time.
And it pays off.
Usually it pays off. Yes. But yeah, he decided to, he's working on kind of revamping the reseller program a little bit. And so he decided that this was a good way to kick things off as do a reseller specific item, which was the virtual rum. And gotta say that it's been a huge success. I think bigger than what probably any of us anticipated. It's been a very popular item for all four resellers. And Munsey has created a tool for the resellers to make life so much easier on the virtual sales. So we tried it. We tried a couple months ago with the Frosty, mm-hmm. and we sold those, and we were using just a spreadsheet. We'd send it to MHQ. MHQ would take care of everything. And it was a rather slow, kind of clunky process. And when Rob launched the rums, the virtual rums, he had Robbie create a new tool for us. And wow, it's pretty amazing. And it makes life so much easier. You place an order with a reseller, they actually can process the order and you get your item much quicker. So it's
if you put your player name only in the special instructions box. Otherwise, Barb takes hours to contact players.
I was going to mention that because I've seen in the water cooler, Barbara, reminding people it's to follow the instructions.
Well, it is the single most important thing when placing an order for any virtual item, because just common sense, if you went on Amazon and you ordered something, Amazon needs to know where they're supposed to deliver it. And so they need your address. And so just like with coming on and ordering a virtual Munsey product, the reseller needs to know who they're giving the product to. So if you don't give us your player name, we have no idea who you are. Just because it says PJ on the name, we don't know what your player name is. We can't give it to PJ. So, it's very important, and it's quite amazing how many we get that do not have player names in there. As much as I've posted, as many times that the resellers have posted, and we still continue to get orders all the time with no player names.
And the thing is, even if we know the customer, even if we know the player, there's a lot of players that will buy for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so that's why we need. And in the past, you could put more than one player, and we love the little personal notes that people send us. But with this process now where you literally can get what you order within minutes, we can't have anything else in that special instructions box.
Okay. There you go.
Well, that's good to know because, I think some people just, it takes a while when something new comes along and unfortunately you just had to deal with the headache, but I'm sure as the weeks go on, people should know by now. Like Dale said, it's very clearly explained in all of the Facebook communities.
Yeah. And it's just, like you said, it's something that, we got people to understand that you could put multiple names in at one time. And so they're used to doing that. Well, now we've gone and changed the way that we do things. And now we've got to kind of retrain everybody to the new way. And it's just, evolving with progress. And this is definitely progress. I mean, the new system that's in place that Munsey has provided the resellers is truly a really great product. And it's a great tool that we have, and it works very, very well.
Nice. That was great to hear. Fantastic. And you know what? It's funny. Ironically enough, when you were talking about this issue, all I can think of is that I'm a kindergarten teacher, and my kids have school uniforms. And we tell the parents all the time, constantly, please write your child's name in their uniform. And it happens all the time. I'll find five or six hoodies laying out in the hallway in front of my classroom. And parents will message me, I can't find my kid's hoodie. I can't find my kid's hoodie. I got five or six hoodies. and they have no name written on them. And my kid and the parents are like, but it's this size. I'm like, well, they're all that size. Yeah. And then I said, I've emailed and messaged like 20 times in the last month, write your kid's name on the uniform. And I'm not blaming the kids because they're five.
Right.
parents, I sent the messages to, but there you go. You know,
there you go.
What that reminds me of. Well, you know what? Dale and Barb, we don't want to keep you guys too much longer. We're getting late into the evening here in Asia. For all of those awesome people out there listening to this podcast, how can they find you guys online? Can you let us know all the places where you are?
So our store is at spacecoastgeostore.com, or there's a short version of that, scgastore.com. And so that's the easy way to reach us online. And from there, you can communicate with us, or you can find us under, you know, on Facebook. We have a store webpage. We're on Facebook in the water cooler. Dale Swinehart and Barb is under Barbara Swinehart. So you can find us on either one of those. We have Twitter accounts. We don't really do much on the other social medias. Pretty much everything we do is on Facebook. So that's the easiest way to contact us is via Facebook, or our website.
Fantastic. Okay, guys. So all of you listening out there, all those links will be in our little show notes page, and we'll be sharing those out on our Facebook page, which happens to be our Facebook group, which is the Munzee Maniacs Podcast Facebook group. So go search for us and find us there. PJ and I will be there to interact with you and talk, and haven't been as active as I have in the past there, but that's going to change. You know, it's funny how it works. When I'm on holiday, I'm very active on Facebook. When I'm back to with that kindergarten class, I'm not. Yeah. So PJ, how can people find you online, sir?
Oh, the regular places. you do this every time, and I try to think of a different way to say it, and I got nothing.
The whole thing is, it might be someone's first time listening.
Okay. _P_J on Instagram. That is where to find me. All my other links are there. But that would be the place to go. KANSAI_PEE_JAY.
Awesome. And you can always interact with both of us over on the Facebook group. Yes. At Munzee Maniac Podcast. You can email us at munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. And of course, I'm on Twitter at Mad for Maple, because we Canadians. Just maple syrup everywhere. It's exploding. Dale and Barb, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
And not just thank you for the coming on the podcast, but thank you for all you guys do for the community, both geocaching. Yes. And Munzee. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.